Welcome into some Group of Five talk, Group of Five live here as we break down the American Athletic Conference championship game, Tulane and UCF. Hey, didn't we see this game a couple of weeks ago, a few weeks ago? Yes, we did. This one is for a lot of stakes here. We're going to break that one down. A reminder, though, you can get more detailed film and breakdowns on this game and all the other matchups over at LandryFootball.com. So make sure that you check us out over there. Take advantage of the holiday savings special that we've got going, as well as all the coaching search stuff, as well as information on recruiting, the draft, NFL, transfer portal. We got it all for you at LandryFootball.com. So make sure you check it out. Also, subscribe, like, and share the Landry Football Podcast Network, where you can get all of our football content, college or NFL. So it is the Tulane Green Wave playing host to the UCF Knights on Saturday afternoon in Yeoman Stadium. AAC title on the line. They just met a few weeks ago, as I mentioned. And what's interesting, it marked the first time when they, since 1949, when they met a month ago, that the Green Wave hosted a matchup of ranked teams. It was when they had hosted LSU that year. On Saturday, they're going to do it again. So it is high times for Willie Fritz and the Tulane Green Wave. Both of these teams took care of business last week. Tulane, 10-2, 7-1 in the AAC. They topped Cincinnati on the road, 27-24. Really good win. UCF, 9-3, 6-2. Not has been quite as consistent. They nearly let a 28-point lead slip away before scoring late to beat USF 46-39. The Knights handed Tulane their only conference loss of the season on November 12th, 38-31. And we're going to see UCF play in the conference championship game for the third time in a row. And this is going to determine which team represents the Group of Five in the New Year's Six bowl games. Now you can't imagine how big this is for a program like Tulane to be playing on New Year's Day. Would be great. Now UCF is no stranger to the ACC title, even after dropping a stunner to Navy just a few weeks ago. Everything to play for here. Last week I mentioned they beat South Florida in a way in which they had to hold on after a nice start. They've gone to Tulane. They came away with a win. They've got a lot of confidence they can do it again. They'd love nothing more to claim that New Year's Six spot. The Knights have two injuries to keep an eye on as they head into the game, both on the offensive side of the ball. Jordan Davis with an ankle remains out. They've got they're thin at the tight end depth spot, while Omari Johnson with a leg has been ruled out at receiver. And neither have had a catch all season long, which is good news for the Knights that they don't expect, to be missing key pieces in this game. UCF has balance on both sides of the ball, but they're going to need their offense to play much like it did in the first meeting if they want to succeed. They have one of the top running games in college football, and Tulane's defense is stout. They've struggled against the run, however. John Rhys Plumlee was the key, I thought, in the win on November 12th. And he's one of the best dual threat quarterbacks in the country. And it could give him a big night and a big chance to win this game as well. How healthy is he? Piercy's going to play, but how healthy, how effective? That's going to be pivotal in this game. If you look at what UCF did right in that win against Tulane, the passing attack wasn't special, but the defense came up with two big takeaways. The defense struggled in the second half after the offense came up with a 31-14 lead, but the running game took over when it had to. The offense figured to finish the regular season as the best in the AAC, and to do it again, it all starts with that offensive line with the Knights. So the Knights mixed it up with Plumlee, 176 yards, with Bowser and Harvey running the football well, and that wasn't even their best performance of the year. 200 yards per game is the norm for UCF, with 300 or more in four games. Tulane's defense has been good overall, but again, run defense going to be key. They're going to have to make some key adjustments there. Now, Tulane's turnaround this season has been one of the best stories in college football after years of struggling or barely finding their way into bowl games. They're a win away from the title. They've bounced back with impressive wins over SMU and then Cincinnati. They've got talent. And I go back and studied the Kansas State win. It's early in the year, but they did a really good job. They, having lost at home, after failing to beat UCF, it'd be interesting to see how their confidence will take place here. And the pressure, I think it means a lot to both teams. But I think it, UCF has been here before, and I think there's an expectation to be here again. I wonder how much of that is resonating with Tulane. I have been asked, is this Tulane program sustainable? Willie, and I think it's great that he's staying at Tulane and not even considering or it not working out with Georgia Tech, however that played out, as Brent Key's happy for him getting that job. But Tulane, going back, as I remember them and followed them in the 60s and the 70s growing up in Louisiana, it was a different type of program, different type of school. They had a lot of good players in the state. And why can't Tulane do it? Well, because those kids that are second-tier Louisiana high school prospects that are very, very good, those guys don't normally go to Tulane. It's with all due respect, the ones that have enough academic credentials will consider to go there. And I think that'll will certainly be something that will continue for those type of players. But a lot of it is largely the student body is those from out of state and usually from a lot of Northeast schools, Northeast locales. And so I don't know how sustainable it is, but Willie Fritz has done probably the best job consistently of having a program that is one they can build around. I love the on-campus stadium. I love the fit. We'll see if they can finish it this year. They've got a pair of injuries themselves. Backup quarterback Justin Abieta with a shoulder remains out. And we'll see how much that's going to hurt him. Cameron Carroll with a leg also is out. With only three touches out of the backfield, he shouldn't be missed a great deal. Tulane's defense has been what has stood out to me. I mean, the quarterback and a great running back, yes. But the defense has been really good. They did not play well the last time these two teams met. They allowed 505 yards, 250 yards on the ground, 25 yards on the ground of their own. Okay, that's got to flip around. They've got to do a better job with their run fits. They're going to have to be prepared for the quarterback runs. And so that defense that has been good most of the year but did not show up against UCF in the first matchup has to be there for this to go their way. They have a pair of linebackers that are very good. Dorian Williams, Nick Anderson are really good. And this is going to be key for them to slow down the run. They didn't generate any takeaways in the last meeting and then turned it over. That's, pivotal. UCF is -5 on the year in turnover margin with 6 in the last two games and 13 over the last 5. The Tulane game was the only one without a giveaway in the bunch, and it gave up multiple times in 6 of the last 10 games. On the flip side, Tulane beat SMU with 5 takeaways, got by Memphis with 4, forced multiple takeaways in 5 games, winning all of them on their way to finishing in +7 in the turnover margin. Tulane's offense is efficient, it's effective, and it's controlling. They can't hang yard for yard with UCF. UCF is more explosive. But Tulane's got to get takeaways. So, as I mentioned, in the last matchup, John Rhys Plumlee was a man possessed. He was the key. He's been battling an injury all season, a hamstring. The status is a little bit unknown at this point. I think he's going to play. Mikey Keeney is very capable, and he's done a really good job. They've got to be prepared for both. This is, again, a UCF team that leads the AAC in total offense, 485 yards a game. exciting as Plumlee is to see, they're very capable at the skill position. R.J. Harvick and Isaiah Bowser at running back are outstanding, and they give them kind of a thunder and lightning type, effect. A nice all-purpose back. Harvey has been really good, and Bowser's the bruiser, and he's very effective on short yardage and goal line. Out wide, Javon Baker, Ryan O'Keefe, Colby Hudson, they've got really good skill set. Each have caught 5 touchdown passes. The number one scoring defense in the AAC is Tulane. So this is where, again, the matchup was won last time when I thought it might be more competitive. They don't generate a lot of pressure, but they do everything well defensively, does Tulane. As I mentioned, I love their linebackers. Williams can get in the backfield and rush the passer, although they're not a big pass rush team. Larry Brooks, Macon Clark are a nasty duo of safeties that hit hard. Each has had 2 interceptions. Clark has also had 3 forced fumbles. Jarius Monroe might be the best cover man, I think, on that team. And he's been really good. He's tied for the AAC lead with 19 takeaways during the year. But they've given up a lot of yards in that last matchup, 38 points in that first meeting. So that's kind of when Tulane's on defense and UCF's on offense. When Tulane's on offense, if Michael Pratt is very athletic. He's a bit of a sophomore slump in 2021. He's got 30 total touchdowns, just 4 interceptions. He's 2nd in the AAC in passer rating and yards per attempt. Does a nice job spreading the ball around. He's got 7 different pass catchers that have at least 20 catches and 235 receiving yards. Shea Wyatt leads the team with 30 catches with 582. Deuce Watts is the best at getting in the end zone. I mean, he can high point the ball. Really good at 50-50 balls. Jahan Jackson and tight end Tyrick James are other good receivers. So they spread the ball around with a lot of weapons. But the offense runs through their dynamic, outstanding, going to be an effective next-level runner in Ty J. Spears. He's got 1,177 rushing yards. He's got 14 touchdowns, which is the most in the AAC. He's a really good receiving threat out of the backfield. After rushing for 130 yards and just 8 carries in the first game, I expect to see a concerted effort to get him the ball early often. Pratt is a good runner himself, but he was a non-factor in the first meeting. So I think both the quarterback run and Spears feeding them is going to be pivotal. I think UCF has more depth at running back. Tulane, though, can get more explosive plays out of the run game than they were able to do in the first matchup and will have to. I do think, despite the fact that they allowed 39 points against USF, I think this UCF defense has been one of the better defenses in the league throughout the year. Up front, Tremon Morris Brash is tough to block. Leads the team with 6 sacks. And he had 1 of 2 against the Green Wave 3 weeks ago. The other is a linebacker, Jason Johnson, who can get in the backfield. Very good, nose for the ball. Much like Tulane, they don't get a bunch of sacks, but they do everything else pretty well. Ricky Barber is an outstanding defensive tackle, good against the run. Salazar is very capable of setting the edge in the run game. The secondary in Devon Wilson and Devontae Brown are really good anchors there. They Wilson leads the team with 3 interceptions, and they force the only 2 turnovers. It was a secondary forced turnovers in the first matchup against Tulane. So that's kind of the storyline for it. So, folks, this is going to be an exciting game. I think it's going to come down to, again, Tulane's ability against the run. I think, obviously, getting the ball to Spears, that's going to be the difference to flip this around. And then Tulane defensively, can they force some turnovers? UCF will give you the ball. But if you can't, if they don't and you can't take it away, this is going to be challenging. That was the difference in the last matchup. I've got further thoughts on this matchup over at LandryFootball.com with even more breakdowns for you to give you better an idea of how things are likely going to play out. So make sure that you check it out today. Take advantage of the holiday savings sale. Again, you get not only the film breakdowns of all the college games, but the NFL games, transfer portal, recruiting, coaching searches. We've got it all for you there. Also, a reminder to subscribe, like, and share the Landry Football Podcast Network, where you can get all of our football show content. Hey, we appreciate you joining us, and enjoy the games. And we'll be back certainly on LandryFootball.com and on the Landry Football Podcast Network to break them down for you and keep you up to date on all the latest in the world of football. So we'll talk to you then. Enjoy the games, everybody.